Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. How do people get started? Where do they get stuck? Does their family really follow along when they want to get organized? Wouldn't you love to peek behind the curtain and see how other people in the 100-day program are actually getting their home organized? Well, that's what we're going to be doing from now on the Wednesday new Organize 365 podcast. I would love to introduce you to your fellow Organize 365 members that are on this home organization journey with you. Let's see how they have gone from disorganized to organized. Well, welcome back to part two with Melissa. And I don't know if Steve's game, we could do part three. I think we're going to have part three, but maybe. You never know. You never know. I think you should check back and see. Melissa's going to be like, why did I say that on a podcast?
Oh, he'd think it was hilarious. You should get my girls on too. Then you could get a lot.
The whole family.
The whole family. They call you my crazy friend, Lisa.
I think Lisa, many people are saying that.
Did Lisa tell you I should do that, Mommy? Yes. Yes. Lisa said I should do this way. But they like some of the things Lisa says too. They're like good ideas for fun for the summer and things like that they really like. So they definitely have a warm spot in their heart for you, Lisa.
Oh, that's good. So we're going to talk about the kids in the second half of this episode. But first, I want to talk about you. I want to talk about your family history, your job, your business. Can you give us a synopsis of how you got to be where you are today in your company and how the company got started?
So in 1928, my great-grandfather, Don Gardner, created a media company. And we focus on business-to-business trade publications and media and websites. And we have events and we do a lot of, business intelligence, mostly in industrial markets, so plastics processing, composites, machine shops, industrial finishing, industrial cleaning. I'm missing a few high production, high volume part production. So mold making technology, we have 8 media brands. I am lucky enough to work with my brother and my cousins. We are a fourth generation family business in Cincinnati, Ohio, located in Newtown, Ohio. And we have probably 230,000 subscribers and readers of our publications. We have a company that has about 180 employees. We have another business that is like a trade show mapping company, and just have a really good business. We love our employees, love the crazy industries that we're in and the people we get to work with. My business allows me to travel a lot. I go to a lot of industrial meetings. I go to a lot of industrial events, trade shows. We put on a lot of those events, and I am really lucky to have some great customers and just have, you know, seen a lot of the world through our organization. So, but it's a challenge when you're the mother of three and you're managing, you know, you've got your work and you've got your home. And we've talked about this before, Lisa. You know, I don't believe there's balance for a working woman. I really think you have to strive for harmony. You want to have a real harmonious blend between who your family is and how you work with your family, your friends, your beliefs, your work. You can only look for harmony. When I tried to get balance, I was so out of balance at some times, so out of balance towards my family or so out of balance towards the work that I couldn't, that was too much pressure for me to think that there was going to be this, you know, lady of justice, because she was always tipping one way or the other in my life. So harmony, I have a musical family and musical background, and I understand harmony. Sometimes one note's louder, sometimes it's quieter, but you really want to have a beautiful, harmonious life. And so that's kind of how I live my life, trying. And I Not successful all the time, but I try. That's what my daughter always says she's going to put on my tombstone. She tried. Hashtag she tried. I do try.
So. Well, when I speak to corporations or when I speak to other groups, my keynote talk is work-life fusion.
Because
I was trying to figure
one.
Out,
that's
you
good.
Know, like
yes.
harmony, balance, blah, blah, blah. No, I'm like way too fiery for that. Like it's work-life fusion. And when you look at fusion, like together, you are a better employee because you are a wife and mother, and you're a better wife and mother because you are an amazing employee. So I do think it's that fusion there
and
that is really cool.
I can see that in the people that I get to work with, my coworkers. Like we try and give a good life, let people live a good life. But the ones who do really well here, they do fuse it. I mean, like yeah. I could email many people and ask for help and they can do the same for me, whether it's personal or professional. We mm-hmm. try to be really supportive of each other. And we know there are times, you know, fair's not fair for all your employees at the same time. Sometimes somebody may have something going on at home and other people need to help pick up the slack for a while.
Yep.
There's a difference between somebody who's been working for your company for 20 years who has a medical crisis. You hire good people and you...
Yep. Take care of them.
Take care of them. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So
did you always know that you would go into the family business? Like, was that your path all the way through? How did
I don't think I always knew I would, but I worked very briefly for a large bank in Cincinnati that you can probably figure out that's a fraction of the third bank. I worked for about 8 weeks there. And I told them I'm a word person. Like I am totally a word person. That's my background. Like I like words. I like to write. I like to do marketing. That's who I am. I'm not as strong on the numbers, math, financial.
At a bank. This could be
at a bank,
problem.
Right? But they needed people. They were looking for, this was for their management training. And I was very explicit. Like this is, if you want someone who can make you like look good like in media, I can help with that. Well, they put me in the trust department and they,
nobody can market trusts.
No. Well, and it was all like managing, transactions mm-hmm. for their clients. And I felt really out of my league. I was doing a fine job with it and they liked me, but there was a woman who was on maternity leave and I was doing that. And I had to go and do a requisition form for a box of paper clips. And you know, here I knew everybody, a position came open at Gardner. I'm like, you know what, I should do what I was uniquely created to do. And I should be a Gardner. And, so I've been here 32 years. I think I started working when I was 14, did every job there was to do, at the company, except the ones that were, required a higher level of skill, but all of the things that one could do, I swept the floors and organized thousands of cards in zip code order. And, you know, really had the pleasure of seeing how media has transformed, how things have changed. But, you know, still, I think when you look at your audience and you think about who is your audience and what are their needs and how do you write to them? How do you create products to them? What are their needs? Who are your customers? I love that. My role right now is Chief Marketing Officer of Gardner, and I really like the thinking about the people and how we communicate that with them. I love ideating projects and thinking about, you know, how can we do what we're doing? How can we apply something in one area to another area? And, work with the team to create really great products for the industries we serve. And it's fun most of the time. It's challenging too, though, because, you know, you always have that, you know, as a business owner, there's that obligation to do right by your employees. You're helping a lot of people, you know, feed their families, and they rely on you and your leadership and your mm-hmm. vision and your support to keep a sustainable, positive, good business and a good environment for them. And there's a lot of responsibility, I think, that comes with that, you know, it sounds great owning your own business, but there's a lot of sleep you lose and, you know, you
yes.
have a situation like COVID and it's like, how are we going to, you know, we had, I think, 10 events this year, major events that we had to cancel. And financially it was, you know, could have been devastating, and it's not easy and it's hard with our customers. We had the good fortune of you know, I think one of the things when you run a business is you want to do all the right things to run a good business. And we had the good fortune of purchasing pandemic insurance on all of our events. Yeah, nobody did that, but we did.
How did you even know it existed?
Well, I don't know. I think it was just a combination.
Because 1928, somebody said.
Well, I guess, you know,
in the future, you're going to want pandemic insurance.
Right. So,
wow.
So that was lucky for our employees and it was lucky for our business. I think one of the things running a business is you want to think about what are the best practices for your business as an owner. Now, I would say to me, and I'll go back to Organize 365 since that is what we're talking about, your company focuses on best practices for paper organization, best practices mm-hmm. for organizing your home, and a lot of good practices and best practices for organizing your business. Now, I am eagerly awaiting the paper solution for business publication as soon as you get that out of your brain and onto paper. Lisa, I always have
people
lots of ideas.
We have something that comes first that's kind of like other things that we have.
Oh, good. Okay. Oh, good. Okay, good, Lisa. Good.
That's the only hints. I'm not even supposed to give those hints.
I know you're
It'll be coming within weeks anyway, so.
Oh, really good. Fine, okay, well, yeah. We'll have to hear about it. I'm so excited. Something else I can invest in. So anyway, for the business, after I started getting my home life organized, I have a lot of paper. I'm kind of our corporate historian, I would say. Mm. And I am looking in my office right now, and I have three lateral files, huge lateral files that have virtually the whole history of our organization. And I found a system that has worked for me on my work papers called the Paper Tiger. And I learned about that from the professional organizer that came into my house and put some systems in place at the house that worked not at all at home. But for my archival papers at work, the system works just great for the big papers, but not for the active, not for my active paperwork. So I can easily get my hands on whatever paper I need. Historically, they're not things that I want scanned. They're not things that most people would find important, but I can't tell you how many times I've said, well, we did something like that in, you know, 1987. Let me pull that out and let's see how we did that. And so I've got all of that here in my office. But my actionable paper, so we're trying to, in my job, I'm looking at projects, many projects, right? So we have event mm-hmm. projects, we have association clients, we have major event projects, we have running the business projects. And I think I bought the corporate work box pretty quickly after I bought all the box, the Sunday basket and got into the 100-day program. Then I bought a corporate work box. I think I've also bought a direct sales work box, not because I sell directly, but I wanted to understand those systems. I have behind me in my office right now, I think I have 5 Sunday baskets and I have a bunch. I'll have to show you my binders after the call, Lisa, but realized that the slash pockets for how I work and how I learn, I was always a big person who had like large stacks of paper on my desk. And I could generally say, those papers are in this stack, those are in this stack. Like my mind could organize it, but I like having everything out where I can see it. So when I learned how nice the slash pockets are, and I love your slash pockets because there's a front and there's a back and you can get about 45 to 50 papers in them.
Jeez. That's a lot of papers.
If you stuff them full like I do, you can get a lot of papers in there. But sometimes we'll have, you know, a brochure that's 25 yes. pages, plus you want to get other things in there. And
emails.
So I basically hacked your system, and particularly for events, I love it because I can put a folder for all of the different elements of an event. I create a slash pocket, and I have, for the different events that I work on or the different clients, I use a different color Sunday basket with slash pockets in it with the different elements of the project. And I know what those elements are. I work with them all the time. So, and some of them are similar between 2 or 3 projects. So for me, I used to just have the papers all over the place. Now I have in a box for client A, all of the papers like client mm-hmm. A's papers. I have the same papers in client B's Sunday basket. And so if I'm on a call with them, I can pull that out. I keep the notes from those meetings in there, or I use OneNote for notes as well. When I'm traveling, I use OneNote. But I like to be able to take the folder, the slash pockets out, take them with me. If I'm going on a trip and we're going to have a meeting about like a retrospect meeting where we're going to look back a postmortem on what we did with the project, I'll just take the whole basket, or I'll ship the whole basket to the event site. So I'll have it there. So if something goes wrong or I can't remember how I did something, I have those physical papers. I have the physical brochure. I can pull it out and say, this is what it is. So that's kind of how I've used the system to organize myself at work. And it's been very good.
Okay, me too. And your company is way bigger than mine, way more employees, way older.
Right now.
Lots
right
more
now.
Money.
Right now.
But I think I often personally feel like my system is the preschool version of what corporations use, or I'm the precursor to how you will ultimately have a more professional digital system. And listening to you talk and realizing that, no, I was right, this actually can work like in a really big company. It's not one system is better than the other, or one is the grown-up version and the other one is the child version. It's how does your brain think? Like if you give me my workbox, which I literally have all of the ideas of things that might happen in Organize 365 is in a pink slash pocket somewhere. They aren't all in my active, but I have active, I have this year, I have my someday binder. Like that is how I think. I could have all that same exact information on my computer and I just cannot process it that way and I'm much less effective. So when Organize 365 is like a worldwide household name, I will still be running my portion of the company through slash buckets.
Well, see, and that's kind of where I am too, Lisa. And I haven't like imposed this system on other people in our organization. I have imposed it on my father for keeping track of his things, just because then I'll know where they are as I'm helping him with his estate. But for me, I always can get my hand, like I'm somebody who here, they're always like, how did you even know you had that paper? Well,
right.
Yeah. And it is how I think. And this has helped me organize that process better. And so I'm good with it. I am who I am. I like how I keep things and it helps me. And it was really handy when the pandemic came, Lisa, because, having all these workboxes that I work on in my own unique way and use the slash pockets in my own unique way. When we decided to shut the business down, we still are primarily, I think Mike DeWine shut Ohio down on a Friday, and Monday we were up and running with all of our employees from home that Monday. We had, fortunately, again, having good people who had invested in systems, invested in phone systems. We use Outlook 365, and so we have all of the systems are easily accessible from home. We made sure everybody had a computer that they could get onto. We worked on all of the issues with that, but we did that turnaround in a matter of days. We kind of talked about it the Monday before he shut things down, and then we were shut down. So I rearranged my home office so that it looked better. I had just invested in one of the IKEA systems because you told me to.
Because they're perfect Sunday basket holders.
It was perfect for the Sunday basket holder. I had all of my home reference binders I had just put on there. I'd put it up on the wall. Literally, it was the Sunday before we got shut down. I had put all my binders on there. I had put my home basket. I had my home baskets in the kitchen, but I had all the binders, my memorabilia binders. It looked really, really nice and professional. Boy, did I fake them out. I had to turn my desk because my home desk faced a hallway.
Yeah.
Where my girls come out in the morning and, you know, they're just coming out of their bedrooms and they're not dressed. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't be facing that on professional. So I turned my desk to face that system. That's all beautiful and looks super organized. Everybody's always like, wow, you're so organized at home. I'm like, yeah, I've gotten there, right? And those binders, all of those binders are full, you know, full of all the right things. I've had people ask me, what are all of those? Well, that's my Organize 365. So
thanks for advertising for me.
I mean, it's beautiful, Lisa. So being able to come in here and load my van up with the five most important projects I was working on, or the three most important projects, I think I've got five of the boxes at home right now, was just, it was great. And being able to pull, I need these slash pockets, really helped me turn things around. And then one of the projects, there's a major trade show called IMTS, the International Manufacturing Technology Show, that takes place every September. They unfortunately, due to COVID, had to cancel their event, and working from home with kind of our team and their team, we put together a whole different plan for that. Well, every element of that, the new plan, the digital version of what we're doing, I have slash pockets for all of those. I took all the slash pockets of the face-to-face meeting. I took all the labels off and I relabeled it with all the new things, just to be able to organize my thoughts and the task and the process. So yeah, so that's that, Lisa.
Way cool. Anything else you want to say about your role as an employee and a business owner?
Well, you know, I do think using the tools and the thought. So one of the things that I think really helped me with planning and kind of that intentional productivity that I said, I think on the last podcast, is I learned from you how you estimate, you make a list of all of the things you have to do and then estimate the time and then try and put that. I'm not great at that yet, but when I'm really busy and I have a lot of things going on and I need to take a step back, I try and schedule more focus time to take a step back, look at all the things that need to happen, all the meetings I need to have, estimate how long, particularly things like I need to work on this contract or I need to focus on developing what this project's going to be, labeling that with how much time I think I'm going to have, and then looking at my calendar and trying to fill in the calendar, my work calendar, with what I'm going to do. I think I've done a much better job of really being intentional about those times and say, okay, I need to meet with these 10 people this week. When am I going to do that? And plugging it on my calendar. So I think that's been really helpful. I wish I were better about doing that at home. And that's when, as I think about planning the next planning session, developing kind of that Google.
Oh, we will.
Oh, good, good.
Yes, that's part of the new, yeah, the new planning, which at the time of this recording, we will have already done. You could still purchase the replay through September, but sign up and join us at the end of December. So we are going to be talking more about being more intentional with all of our 168 hours a week. How do we start to chunk allocate that versus just making better to-do lists? How do we actually allocate what's going to get done when, so we know how much we can to-do versus just making a list?
And that to me, like, if I could be more disciplined at home about this is when you're going to exercise,
yes,
this is when you're right, going to meal plan, I think I do a better job on, at least on a weekly basis. I'm not quite to the point where you are, where you record one day and you plan one day. I that's aspirational. As I said, this is a system that is not like you do it and you get the box and then you magically you're a different person. No, it's a process. And for me, that kind of thinking through how could I structure my days more like what you do, it's harder, I think, in my normal life when I travel, because it's so, well, this Tuesday you're here and this Friday you're here and then you're home for 3 days and then you're going to, you know, down to Florida for a couple days and there's all the prepping. So this is actually a really good time for me to think about more of that, about what that ideal week could look like. So anyway, I think those are probably my thoughts.
Yeah. So what Melissa is touching on is that there are four actions that happen in a workbox, and they are pink, purple, blue, green. They always go in that order. So pink are ideas or things that have not moved beyond you inside of your role or your company. Purple are forward facing. So like, for example, what I alluded to earlier that I haven't told you about, that's related to workboxes, the product we have coming out with later this fall, that's still pink because you haven't heard about it. But once we are selling it, that will become purple and that will become part of our catalog and what we sell and the products that we offer. So pink purple is how you spend the majority of your time in the company. And if you're on the creative side, the marketing side, you spend a lot more time in pink. And if you are in production and operations, you spend more time in purple. You do both, but you do 80% one and 20% the other. And then after you get that balance going, then you go to blue. Blue is your team, which helps you make it happen, and also your professional development and growing of yourself. And then green is your administrative repetitive tasks, and then finances, if there's any financial component to your business. If you're a bookkeeper, then finances would be your purple. It wouldn't be your green. And so those are the colors that we use inside of the workbox. And for me, and for most people who end up using a workbox, now again, give yourself 18 months to get to this point in your workboxes, you end up having 2 days, which is either pink or purple. So for me, I'm pink. I'm always where the ideas get generated in the company. So Mondays and Thursdays are pink days. That's when I'm recording podcasts, planning out new products, vision casting for the company, meeting with, new hires or things that are related that have not happened in the company. Tuesday is the day where I do all of my forward-facing work with clients. So that's when I used to do Facebook Lives. That's when I do podcast recordings. That's when I do meetings outside of Organize 365. Wednesday is blue. That's when I meet with the Organize 365 team. So all Organize 365 team meetings happen on Wednesday. And Friday is green. So that's my repetitive tasks. I can take a Friday afternoon off. Usually most of my energy is gone by like 10 o'clock on Friday. That's when we have our team lunches. That's when I go over bookkeeping. That's when I walk through the warehouse and see what needs to be ordered for the next week. And so batching your tasks, it took me a long time to get to that, to where all of the meetings were on Wednesday, and you have to increase your stamina. So I can have the first Wednesday of the month, I have 4 90-minute meetings, and they are very intense. It's our whole company meeting, we have our marketing meeting, we have our leadership meeting, and then I have a Cincinnati operations meeting. Those are a lot of meetings to plan for and pull off. So moving those and getting your energy right in those different zones ultimately will move you forward faster and increase the productivity of not only you, but also your team. If you can imagine everybody in your company on Monday and Thursday doing solely their job description and not having meetings and not meeting with outside vendors and not doing other things, you can see how some of those really big projects, really big rocks will get checked off faster. And then if you know Tuesday and Thursday are going to be your days when you have a lot of meetings, then you're not going to schedule some really big deep work time. And there is a reason why we pick Tuesday and Wednesdays. And the reason why is because almost all holidays follow on a Monday or Friday. So I don't put any meetings on Mondays or Fridays, so that meetings rarely get canceled. So Tuesday, Wednesday is when we have meetings. And then Friday is always going to be the day where, that's why we do the Friday workboxes, because that's when you're like, I am done for the week. I'm ready to transition into my other life, my home life, but also think about what's going to happen on Monday. So I'm ready to hit the ground running on Monday morning. So I just thought I'd jump in and give that little caveat. I haven't really explained a lot about the workboxes in podcasts. You hear them here and there. I'll share a little bit and then I'm back out again. We have almost 1,000 people using workboxes now. It's really grown a lot this year. I think as people have had success with the Sunday basket, they're like, okay, well, how does this work with business? It works much faster with business than it does with home, because you're already looking for a system in your business and it's much more cut and dry. Like, here's how you're going to do it for direct sales. Here's how you're going to do it for corporate. Here's how you're going to do it for a volunteer. Here's how you're going to do it for whatever the thing is that you're doing.
That's great, Lisa. I can't wait. Sign me up.
To come.
Just sign me up.
Yes. Q4, we are focusing on workbox stuff. So.
Great. Excellent.
So let's transition into the other part of your fusion, being a mom. Tell me about becoming a mom and being a mom and your 3 girls.
So my girls are very different people. I have 3 really different types of kids and different ways that they think and they behave. My oldest, Vivian, is 20 years old, and she's they're all really fun and great in their own different ways. And so she's a college student. She was not an easy baby, as she knows she was not an easy baby, not a baby who liked to sleep. That's for sure. And so it took me several years before I had Lillian. Lily is 5 years younger than Vivian is. So 2015. And then Violet was the caboose, and she is 13, and she has Down syndrome. And interesting, when Violet was born, I was reading a lot from parents. You know, I have a lot of passion for particularly prenatally, when people find out that they're going to have a child with Down syndrome. That's a really rough time. And I have been pretty active with an organization that's affiliated with the University of Kentucky. I volunteer with them, and it is, they have a book called Down Syndrome Pregnancy that I have helped out with. I was president of their organization for a while when it wasn't part of University of Kentucky, but I've read and edited those books, and I think that's a time when a lot of moms need a Sherpa. When you find out you have this child with this diagnosis that you don't know much about, you want to really help take that mom from that feeling of fear and unknown, yeah, and help them get to the point where they're actually holding this actual baby, not a theoretical baby, in their arms. And, you know, so it's been really a lot of support that giving those moms has been really interesting. It's just an interesting time in a woman's life. And then, you know, parenting the child is so much different than you think it's going to be. I think that's true of every child, but particularly when you have a child with Down syndrome, it's such a spectrum. You can't say, well, this is how this child is, so this is how my child's going to be.
Right.
But one of the things that was interesting when I had Violet, I was reading a lot about sensory issues, and I never even knew that was a thing as a first time mom, because I didn't know much about having kids. But my oldest has a lot of sensory issues, and she has a lot of, she has, I think it's called hyperacusia or hyperacoustic, where certain sounds drive her crazy. And so we would walk into a restaurant where there was a live band playing, and she would walk right back out. And, you know, I was like, where did they
go? Not going there.
Nope. And she, to this day, is still very much that way. You know, it's gotten a little better since she's been in college, but some things like that she would think about, I have to live on the top floor of the dorm. I can't live on the bottom floor. I could not have people's feet on top. Hearing that sound would make me crazy. So I learned, I was a better mom to Vivian after I had Violet, because all of a sudden I was open, yeah, to this world of some of the differences. And that's where I think we came to understand. We got her tested for a couple of different things related to that, and one of her diagnoses came back as ADHD, which after I learned about that, which I hadn't known about, that's where I figured out that I had that as well, and why my brain wouldn't turn off at the end of the day, why I have 1,000 different ideas and different directions we want to do, why, you know, problems with completing tasks, problems starting tasks. And, you know, knowledge is power, I think. And so, like, the more I've learned about it, the more Vivian's learned about it. Lily, we think, has it at some level too. And my husband does as well. He has a hard time getting started with a project, but then once he's started, he'll do it so well, right? I mean, no one will do that project better than Steve once he gets started. It's just getting going. So for all of us, I did invest in the kids program because it was good.
Yes, Violet is actually our model.
I love
it. In the puzzle and in some of the ads. So you have seen her.
Yes, you've seen Violet. And she really likes the routine. She likes knowing that these are the things she needs to do. She likes the checklist. I invested, and I suggest anybody in your program invest in a laminator. You can get them on sale certain times of years. And I've laminated virtually all of the sheets that you might use on a regular basis, or you can take them to Staples too. But then I use like a wet erase marker. I use it for myself and I use it for her. I have two of them for the work week, kind of the dump list, because I have the current week that I write on, and then I take all that and transfer it over to the new one, and I erase the old one, just because I felt like I was printing stuff out a lot, and I like to have everything in color because that's who I am. The visual person that I am, it has to be in color. So she likes having that checklist and going through it, and she'll start the morning, oh, really, Mommy? Really? I have to do this again? Really? I'm like, it's Saturday. Okay, Mommy. So having that structure was really good. When you release kind of that daily, at the beginning of the global pandemic, when you release the daily worksheet, that was very helpful, particularly for my oldest daughter and for me, because everything was so new and everything was so different and felt so out of control. I think for both of us, having that, like, all I have to do is the things on this list. I have to do these things today. If I can get through this, you know, and I think as humans, we're very adaptable. And so now we, you know, it's not what we would want for ourselves right now, but it is what it is. And so we basically, I think we've adjusted to the new normal and are able to do those things. But having that kind of daily task really helped them. And I know, I think Vivian took the older teens chart to college with her, and she and Piper would use that when they had to clean their room up, that her roommate, they would use that to go through what needed to be done. So it's good.
So I'm just so excited to hear that all of this is actually working, especially for the kids. Okay. No one wants to clean their room. Like, we don't want to clean our rooms. No, nobody wants to clean our rooms. So we're going to give some verbal, I don't want to do this first, but I think that once you have the checklist and you have the skill to do it, if you can get started, it just gets finished. Like, it's just getting your mind around, it has to get started, it's going to get finished. And I will say, if it hasn't come out yet, it's coming out in a podcast episode on Friday. We have to have a daily checklist right now. Like, I am the kind of person, I am uber productive, and I am not, because if I do not make myself a list the night before of what I'm going to produce the next day, I still produce a lot. I mean, because I'm just a productive person, but I produce about a third of what I'm capable of, because we just, in this pandemic situation, our brains cannot wrap our minds around where we are, our structures, our schedules are gone, everything is changing. When we don't have a do this, do this, do this, do this, every time you have a break, you start thinking, well, I'll check Instagram. Maybe I should read the New York Times again. Oh, I wonder if my kids have what they need. What am I going to have for lunch? And I normally would not be like that.
Yeah, but, I normally would.
Well, I'm telling you, everybody's like this now.
I'm with you, Lisa. And I find myself like ebbing and flowing. Like, I will have some super productive days where I can just really focus and really get that checklist, and not just the checklist, but really feel like, okay, I'm going to put everything on the list. I'm going to kill it this week. And I've kind of been going back and forth, like having days where home I'm super productive and getting it all done, and then work I'm super productive. But then I just feel like there's almost, I don't know, you called it like low level depression. I'm not normally, I've never had that. Like, but
it's worldwide. Like,
it's just like, yeah. And it's kind of an off balance. And you feel bad. Like, as a business owner, I know that the people I work with, like, I know all my coworkers are feeling the same thing, and how you keep everybody positive and moving forward and still give them the grace that this is just, you know, even my kids, hard. I'm not going to harsh on anybody. It's a hard time right now. And, you know, we all, I think, are doing our best. And, you know, some days you're just going to be not able to get done what you want to. And I think that the challenge for me is like, okay, my mother has passed away in the last few months. Mm-hmm. I've been going through all of her things. You know, we're in a global pandemic. All of my kids have this very understandable both fear of going back to school, regret that they're not going to school. There is a lot emotionally that we are all dealing with right now. And, you know, this is today's crisis. Life is, that's part of how life is, right? We're always going to have those next things. So the challenge is accepting that, showing yourself grace, understanding that that's where you are, determining how and when to push yourself to do the better, the next, the best, but then finding outlets that maybe are different. That's one of the things I'm really looking forward to planning day about is, you know, how can we help the people, not only ourselves, but the other people that we're trying to support, the family members, help them have that push that they need themselves. I mean, I have to find it within me. Sometimes you push me, right? When you told me I could throw my laundry baskets away, that was great. That was a great day. All my mismatched laundry baskets.
Out of here.
Love it. I see those that nice stack in my sink in my laundry room, and it makes me so happy. But we do all need to find the push for ourselves. And I think that's it's really hard in this time of connecting, where I know there are so many of us have this kind of, you know, I have some grief. I have a lot of grief about my mother, but then there's also this level of grief for my kids and what's not happening for the family and what we're not able to do, you know, for all of us, we have that going on. but we still have to find, you have to find the good where you are right now and right here and push yourself to do the things you know you need to do. That's I think my fear is when I don't push, then things are going to get either not done, left behind, not done as well as they should be, and that's going to compound the issues. If I'm already feeling like if I don't have the motivation or energy to do the things I know I need to do, and then I don't do them, and then I'm behind on those things,
right?
That, then I feel
it's
worse,
not worth it,
right? And so that's where I've got to really like focus myself and say, you don't pretend like that's not going to be there. Cause if you just pretend, it's going to be worse later. Right.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't know if that's just me, but
the goal is not to be as productive as possible 5 days of the week.
No.
So I will say that before the pandemic, I would have amazingly productive days, at least 2 days a week, sometimes three. And now I will say, if I plan it, I have one super productive a day and two pretty good days. And then two that are like, I don't know, maybe we should just skip it. And I want you to hear that, because that's normal. No one goes in and like runs full throttle Monday through Friday, and then they switch over to family. Like, it's just not physically possible. And another podcast episode coming out in September that you touched on is this idea of going with the flow. Like, in the past, here's what would have happened pre-pandemic. You would have a super productive day. You would talk to somebody. It would spark them to have a super productive day. And then they would spark you back. The amount of people having super productive days has diminished by like 90%. So now, instead of like, let's say you have 10 friends, four of them are productive, maybe one of those four are still productive, and they're only having maybe one productive day a week. And so if you catch them on that day, you can grab onto that energy and pull it over. The flow that people are flowing in has slowed down to a walking pace. It used to be a marathon that people were running through in February, and now we're just all kind of walking, going, is it going to be done? Are there snacks? Can I have a break? Why are we still walking? Do we need to walk? Can we just stop? And so the flow, the general flow of the world has gotten so slow, you cannot be in the flow. If you used to be a person that used that energy to keep you going, it's getting harder and harder to find those people. So find people that are not in the flow, they're creating their own flow, and then pull from that. And also, if you're the kind of person that usually follows and usually go with the flow and then you pull off of that, I'm just going to call you in the season to become a flow maker, because we need people to step up and be like, okay, Mondays, I'm going to be a flow maker, and the rest of the week I'm not. And like, practice that muscle, because I was reflecting on like the dark ages. I never understood, like, how do we have like this whole period of history where there's nothing in it? I still need to research that. And I was like, oh, I see how that happens. Like, I'm watching it happen around me. Like, people are just getting taken out by the heaviness of what's going on.
Right. And with our work, and I think even with your work, I think we have to create some sense of urgency around doing. So some of the things that we're creating, we have to get people excited about. And that to me has been a big challenge. Like, I can see it's easy to get people really excited about what's going on with what you're doing, because they're at home all the time, right? So this is a great
time. Oh, no, it's not necessarily easy. No?
Okay.
I have to be with Netflix and Instagram. Are you kidding me?
I feel so much better if they, like, to me, going through and organizing stuff. I was thinking about that the other day. You know, when I get through with my mom's papers, I need to go over to my aunt's houses and help them go through their stuff.
Oh, you have the bug bad.
I know. I love it. It's so much fun, Lisa. But to me, like, creating that sense of urgency and excitement and passion, even though it's different, even though we would all rather be going to, as I talked about that event in September, we would, as an industry, everybody would much rather be going to Chicago in a month and hanging out with everybody and doing the things that we're accustomed to doing and being with people. That's not going to happen. So we have this alternative. We have alternative choices. They won't be the same, but how can we make them as good as we can make them and get ourselves as excited as we can? And, you know, creating that excitement, that spark of excitement inside of us and inside of other people to motivate them to do things. That's really a challenge. And especially when you don't feel it in yourself. So we all have to, I mean, you just have to figure out how you can get yourself to step up and do those things, even though you don't necessarily want to. I'm looking at like 2021 right now and thinking, things are still looking a little dicey for the, I don't know that your book tour, I don't know when we're going to see you on the road, Lisa.
Second book. I don't know.
but we still have to have that excitement. Like I love yeah. seeing pictures of your book all over the country, like in the world. I mean, Sydney, Australia, give up.
I know. Cow.
But you know, when you look at that, how do you take what's not how you want it, but still find that spark in yourself and still, you know, make yourself feel, like purposeful and driven and accomplished, even though you're not accomplishing or doing what it is you want to be doing right now. We're going to have to push through it and say this, you know, my unique purpose in life right now is to do these things with work and to bring as much positivity and goodness to the things that within the constraints that we have, same at home. That is what I need to be doing right now. And so finding it in myself to, you know, get up every morning and find the way to do the things and then cut myself some slack when I'm not doing yep. it as well as I should be or I want to be. Not that I should be, that I want to be. It's
a challenge. I think that we still are accomplishing. We just aren't accomplishing the quantity that we were accomplishing a year ago.
Or the same stuff. You know, for me, yep. it's like, you know, I love to be with people. I love to be going on these work trips. I love to interact with them. And, you know, this is great, but I'd rather be at Kenwood right now having lunch with you talking about this than over Zoom, right? I mean, that would be more fun.
Yes, but especially for extroverts. They're not okay. You should check on your extrovert friends.
Not at all okay. The introverts aren't either, though. That's the sad thing.
You know, so pandemic living really for me did not change hardly at all because I don't do the grocery shopping. I primarily work from my home office. Like, literally, my day-to-day did not change when we had the stay-at-home order other than Greg came home. But it did change. Like, so much changed. And yeah, introvert, extrovert, it doesn't matter. We are just dealing with a lot of, it's just so different. It's hard to even put into words.
But there are also some real benefits of it. So to me, like being at home with my kids and my family and my husband and not traveling and not packing and unpacking the suitcase, there have been some benefits to that. One thing is it's given me some perspective that I stay in really pretty good touch with my kids and their emotions and their feelings and what they have going on when I am on the road. Like, you always wonder, am I missing something in my relationships with them? Is it somehow, you know, harmful to what I do a pretty good job of staying, like whether I'm at home or whether I'm away, I feel really connected to them. So it's given me some real different perspectives on things, and it's allowed me some time to pick up some things I haven't done for years. And, you know, and I like doing those things. So that's, you know, there are some real positives to this. I think my baseboards in my house are probably cleaner than they've been in years. You know, I vacuumed all
whenever
the
whenever I start cleaning, Greg's like, oh, what's going on? Because I'm always like, I'm fine. And I'm like, I process while I clean.
Right.
So he doesn't mind if I have some processing to do. He's like, can you process over in that room over there, please? clean that one. Well, Melissa, this has been a pleasure. I'm glad you warned me this would be two podcast episodes. It definitely is. And as we go forward in these Wednesday podcast episodes, it is not just going to be the 100-day journey anymore. I want to dive into how people are using workboxes and Sunday baskets and their executive functioning and getting organized. So just Wednesday interviews in general, if you would like to apply, go to organize365.com/Wednesday. We would love to hear your story as well. Melissa, any parting words that you have?
Well, I hope people take you up on it because I really like listening to other people's perspectives and kind of what they've been doing and how they've learned from the system. I think I've listened to almost every podcast you put together, and it really is helpful to hear other people. Even though I'm an extrovert, I was like, oh, do I really want to do this? And I mean, I'm glad I did just because I like talking to you. But you know, just thinking about you know, your unique situation and how you've addressed it. I know some of the things that you talked about related to loss and family were really helpful for me just preparing mm-hmm. for what happened with mom and the loss there. And, you know, somebody else, you know, either in a retirement situation, that's going to be me someday too. And I would like to hear how you're, you know, how, what you're doing or how you've used the system to help you. So I would love to hear more of it. And I can't wait for more podcasts. I can't wait to hear what you've got coming out with the workboxes, Lisa. So thank you. Thank you.
Shh. Don't tell the team.
I won't.
That I spilled the beans. So I didn't excited. Say what it was yet.
No. Excited.
Thank you so much.
Are you loving these new podcasts? Oh my gosh. I could talk to you guys forever, and I love talking to you actually in person. If you have a story and you would love to share it on the podcast, just go to organize365.com/Wednesday to apply.